Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, you're listening to the 5-Minute Talk Show with Phil Iazetta. We're bringing you today's best comedy and entertainment personalities. Now your host, Phil Iazetta.
Joining us on the 5-Minute Talk Show hotline is a gentleman who you probably know from that little viral video he did a couple years ago. And let me tell you, he'll be at the Treasure Island Casino this weekend in Vegas. Chad Prather, of course, the guy I'm talking about. If you want tickets, if you can get out to Vegas, 866-712-9308. Chad, before we get into the thick of things and what you're going to be doing and all that stuff, Vegas is going to be a rough place for you because this is not a red state. So I get in trouble just for expressing my opinion on how I feel. I don't even let people know who I'm voting for. I just see a travesty in front of me and I just speak the truth. I guess people don't want to hear that these days. So you're going to be up against it now in front of 1,600 people in a blue state. How are you ready to deal with that?
Oh, we always have a blast. You know, we were at Treasure Island last year, and you never know when you're going into a place. Sometimes you think that the places you're going are going to be one way or another in terms of how they lean in their beliefs or their politics or whatever. But you sometimes get surprised by it, and Vegas has been no different. Folks show up, they come out and have a good time. And it's funny you mention that because whatever you say that people may disagree with, that's what they gravitate towards, and then they start to identify you as that. I'm reasonably fair. Yeah, I'm a right-leaning conservative comedian that speaks his mind pretty openly and honest, and that's kind of become taboo in this day and age. But you know what's funny, Phil, is my most supportive state that we go to year after year is California. 15 shows a year in California. It's crazy how folks show up out there.
I don't believe that. I think you're lying. I won't even go to California anymore, Chad. I won't even go to California anymore because of what's going on there. I mean, I don't like to claim that I'm a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent, okay? And I'll be honest, I voted for Trump because I wouldn't vote for Satan. So that was the only alternative there was for me. And just because of that, people have argued with me. Now, I don't know, as a comedian, you know, I'm just a radio guy, but as a comedian, when you speak your opinion, and it could be right or left or whatever, just speaking your opinion, it used to be you were allowed to do that without getting pigeonholed. Now, right away, when they refer to Chad Prather, it's not as a comic, Chad, it's as a right-wing conservative comedian. Why?
Exactly. They do that, you know, and back to your point, you know, back in 2016, I did a video where I said trying to figure out which president or which candidate to vote for is like trying to figure out which venereal disease you're most okay living with for the next 4 to 8 years. You know, I went into a voting booth and there was two boxes. One said Hillary Clinton, and the other one said not Hillary Clinton. And we wound up with Trump, you know, so here we are. But people love labels. And I think the reason they love labels is it's like, imagine, you know, you're going through the clutter in your house and you put stuff in a box and you label that box and you put it on the shelf and you know whether or not you want to deal with what's in that box based on the label. And so people, it just helps people simplify their lives. They've gotten so label happy that they love to put labels on people and then they don't have to deal with you. There's no sense in listening to you. But I love listening to people with a different opinion.
Yep.
You know, I can name several comedians who are out there who are very left-leaning, who I probably wouldn't agree with on many of their politics. You take a Jim Jeffries, for instance. I can laugh at Jim Jeffries when he's, you know, talking about the Second Amendment and how crazy we are as a gun culture in America. And I may not agree with the things he says, his assessments, but I'm laughing at it because it's comedy at the end of the day.
Right.
And if, you know, if somebody can take something, point to it and wrap it in humor, you know, but we've gotten so thin skinned. You see where, you know, Pete Davidson a couple of weeks ago came out where he's making people sign $1 million non-disclosure before they go into a show. It because again, you know, free speech in many ways has become hate speech, and the last bastion of free speech is comedy, and there's no question it's under attack.
Oh, it is under attack. And for me and what I do, I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, handling a couple radio stations that play only comedy on iHeartRadio, you got to hear the comments that I get. How can you play this guy? How can you say, you know, how can you allow that person on your air? You know, he hates women. You know, it's just like, okay, look, look, it's comedy, people, okay? They're not going out and talking about, you know, the true life story. Because otherwise, you know, why aren't we tearing apart Hollywood? I mean, if we're going to dissect everything, well, geez, every darn, you know, Bruce Willis movie, not politically correct. You know, Schwarzenegger, whole line. You go down, it's crazy how it's gotten. But now, as a comic, when you're writing, when you're doing material, when you're getting ready for a 1,600-person show, does it still enter your mind, or do you just say, look, these people want to have a good time. I'm at the TI. You know, some of them might have won a lot of money. Some of them might have lost their kids' college savings. So what am I going to do to cheer these people up? I mean, is that your number one concern, you know, just making the people happy when they come out of your show? Or are you worried a little bit about pissing people off?
No, you know, I want to be relatable. And at the end of the day, I want to make common sense humorous, something that, you know, makes it an easier pill to swallow, because common sense isn't so common anymore. I want people to laugh. I want them to laugh the whole time they're in the show and have a good time and forget about themselves. Because let's face it, that's what entertainment's all about, especially comedy. And when you know, comedy, the true essence of comedy is when you take that mirror out and you hold it up in front of somebody's face and they see the crevices, the wrinkles, the flaws, and that's what you do. And it's that ability to laugh at the human condition. The problem is people have gotten so sensitive and so easily such a sense of persecution, because we've never been through anything. We're so privileged in this country that to see the flaws is offensive. And that's, I think, how people are reacting to that. So for me, being just kind of the jackass that I am, I'm like going to hold up a bigger magnifying mirror and say, let's really dig into the crevices here, and let's see the dark, deep, dark secrets that, and let's be honest, you got to admit, they're there, they exist. I mean, stereotypes exist for a reason, they're based in fact. And just right up front, I tell people, I'm not apologizing. I'm going to make fun of myself, and I'm going to make fun of you, and I'm going to make fun of situations. I'm going to make fun of Donald Trump. I mean, good God, if you're not making fun of Donald Trump, I don't care if you are a conservative. You got to be making fun of Donald Trump. I mean, the guy's sitting butt naked on the toilet at 3:30 in the morning with his orange Speedo tan line, tweeting out stuff, controlling the news. It's funny.
And that's what makes America America. I would want people to make fun of the president. You know, do it in good fun. Don't do it maliciously. You know, why can't people make fun? Jerry Nadler is the He is a walking, breathing elf on a shelf, and nobody's even made fun of this guy. I mean, these are caricatures of humans. I mean, geez, you look at the TV and you look at some of these guys and you're like, oh, really? Is that a real person? And you just look, it's very funny. So to me, not making fun of Mitch McConnell is a crime. Not making fun of Donald Trump is a crime. Kamala Harris, it's a crime. These people are hilarious. It's time for Bob Zaney in this week's Zaney Report.
It's time for the Zaney Report from BobZaney.com. In Las Vegas, a mother says she received a $3,000 bill to have a doctor remove a plastic doll shoe stuck in her daughter's nose. In the defense of the doctor, plastic surgery is very expensive. Good news, bad news. Here's the bad news. The FBI says your smart TV is watching you. The good news, even with 1,000 channels, your TV can't find something good to watch. And finally, in Camden, New Jersey, a kidney meant for one patient was mistakenly transplanted into another with the same name. Here's the scary part. The patient's name, Kostaki Economopoulos. And there you have it. I'm on the Twitter, at Bob Zaney, Zaney Bob on the Instagram. Bay, bay.
And welcome back to the 5-Minute Talk Show. First time I heard about you was with a guy, Cowboy Bill Martin, out of Texas. Yeah. And you were touring with a bunch of guys, Steve Mudflat McGrew. And I said, tell me about this guy, Chad Prather. And, you know, it was before the viral video. So then once the viral video came out, I thought it was hilarious. Because they told me you were from Jersey. And I was like, how is there a cowboy doing a video unapologetically Southern from Jersey? I was born in Florida, and my whole life I've been hearing, well, Florida's not the South. New Jersey's not the South. How does this happen, Chad? How can you get away with it? And I never did.
Well, the full story there is in truth, I was conceived in Dallas, Texas. So my parents did a dirty thing in a horrible place. Being a Fort Worth guy, I can get away with saying that. But I was born in Jersey and lived the first 4 months of my life there. And then, of course, I grew up in Georgia. So I never knew anything except for Georgia. And then until the last 20 years, moving back out to Texas for the first time. It's funny because someone went in and wrote in Wikipedia that I was born in New Jersey, and that's a fact. I mean, my life went downhill immediately, but my mother, being a good Georgia girl, she couldn't handle it. She couldn't hack it, dude. And my father was an engineer living right outside the city. And my mother said, no, we can't live here. As soon as my older brother started taking on an accent, wanted to play hockey, she was like, hell no, we're out. I grew up in Georgia, went to school at University of Georgia, and anybody that listens to me knows that my accent's definitely not Jersey Shore.
I heard you talk, I was like, wait a minute, I lived in Jersey for a good portion of the time because New York just got too expensive. I never heard anyone talk like you in New Jersey, who was born in New Jersey, so I'm glad we cleared that up, because you definitely are off the hook now. So now,
we have people all the time, they say, come on, man, he gets a fake accent, he's from Jersey, and I'm like, someone tries to fake this.
Well, there's a couple people.
Like an Australian.
There's a couple people. We're not going to name names because they've done very well in the business. But Chad, now I want to get back to other stuff. Get off fake accents for a second. When you're in Georgia, Texas, that background, it was for me such a rich culture of comedy. I mean, you talk about Texas. You got guys like Hicks and Ralphie May who came out of there. Kinison came out of there. I mean, royalty, really, when you talk about comedy out of the state of Texas. Georgia's
Bill Hicks. I mean, the list goes on. It's crazy.
Who were some of the people when you were coming up? Because, you know, as a comic, you got to do just as much study. And people never talk about this, but developing an act, you have to study. Who were some of the guys that you watched that kind of influenced you a little bit? Because I think I know the answer, but I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, stylistically for me, Carlin made a big influence. Just his ability to just go off on an audience was always impactful for me. I had to sneak around and watch it. My mother would have died. And then I ran a needle through the records of Bill Cosby. I loved his storytelling ability. A great Texan, Bill Hicks. I loved Hicks' unapologetic lean towards politics and just the way he would just take on it. Anything that was there culturally that was happening and just didn't apologize to anybody. And then, of course, Robin Williams. Of course, everybody loves Robin Williams, a guy who, you know, his improv of just taking an audience and whatever he found in it, found humor in it. So there were a lot of those guys. But then there were writers. There were guys like Louis Grizzard. He was, of course, a Georgia humorist. And folks like that were very heady, very intellectual in their humor. And so I still to this day consider myself a storyteller or a humorist, not so much a joke teller or a comic. You know, I'm not the guy who came up through the trenches, digging his way through the comedy clubs with the hecklers and the drunks and the smoke. I sort of, because of the social media thing, had a built-in audience. And I don't take that for granted, because I've always been a fan of and a student of the craft of comedy. And I highly respect the folks who have built a career out of that, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of doing it. And it's just a huge honor to be able to go out there at a place like Treasure Island and stand on stage where so many great performers and voices have been and just kind of be in their shadow, so to speak. And to do it in Vegas, it goes without saying.
Well, no, you had it right the first time, because to say Vegas is one thing, but, you know, you got to give hats off and credit to the people at TI, because the last, I'd say, 8 years, 7 years, they have really done an amazing job of getting good comics on that stage. And, you know, say what you will, but a guy like Cosby, people, regardless of what your political view is, Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah. Stage. I mean, they really have delivered. So to play that stage, to be part of that stage with you, it's got to really mean something, especially, you know, let's be honest, Chad, it's not all roses and rainbows and unicorns. You get a lot of hate, especially because of the way you came up. You talked about it, the social media.
Yeah.
Why do they resent the fact that, hey, Chad Prather's headline in TI in front of 1,700 people, and I've been doing this for 25 years, and, you know, I can't even get on a stage in Dubuque, Iowa.
Yeah.
What do you say to those comics? I mean, I know what I say to them. But what do you say? Because when I don't play those guys' albums, when I don't play their stuff, and I don't hear people talking about them, there's your answer. But what do you say to those guys?
Well, you know, and I would probably, in my deepest heart of hearts, say the same thing that you would say, Phil, and quite honestly. But I think the correct thing is you look at places like Nashville, Tennessee. You know, they're musicians out there. They're artists that are far more talented than people that are getting a lot of airplay on the radio. You know, the business of show business is not a fair business in that regard. But, you know, I one of the things is I hold my work ethic up to, you know, I didn't get lucky. You know, it's like, to just reference Bill Monten earlier, you know, Bill has a great saying about, you know, many people have said 20 years to be an overnight success. And, you know, we worked hard on the social media. We worked hard on getting ourselves out there. I've got a lawyer friend who said, you're the first guy I ever knew that got famous by pretending to be famous. And there's an element of, there's a huge element of truth there. I just said, this is where I want to be. This is the platform I want. And so just go ahead and live as though you're already there. Right. And, you know, you fly into Vegas, you get up in the morning, you go out and do a media junket at starting at 6 a.m. And you're, you know, in 8 different radio and TV stations for a show that night. And, you know, a lot of folks aren't willing to do that. And it's one of those things you just kind of keep sowing it out there into the wind and hoping something grows. And sometimes it happens for folks. And I mean, trust me, there are far funnier people, out there. So it's a very humbling thing for me to be in the position that I'm in today.
Well, there's a lot of competition out there, and I wouldn't say far funnier people. I mean, to your audience, you are their guy, and I've seen it firsthand. And I mean, that's what I love about comedy. Say what you will about anybody. If they can go out and make a room full of people happy, who's to say they're funnier than this guy or funnier than that guy? Yeah. Mission accomplished. When you go out, people leave the room happy. You mentioned a guy, Cowboy Bill Martin. I love that guy for an organization he started, CowboysWhoCare.org. I was just at a hospital visit 2 days ago. What that foundation does, and I want to, everyone who can, who's near a computer, CowboysWhoCare.org, check it out. Amazing foundation. I think you did some work with those guys too, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I was on Bill's board for a couple of years, and it just a fantastic organization. You know, I think to date that Bill's given away probably about 9,000 cowboy hats, maybe even more at this point. And big shout out to Resist All that provides those hats. And you know, his big thing is, you know, every kid wants to be a cowboy, and none of those kids, you see those precious little bald heads and in those cancer clinics and in those hospitals, and it's like they'd much rather wear a cowboy hat than have to put on that wig or anything else. And it's just, you know, we had a couple of rules with that. One was you never refer to gender, because you don't know. You're dealing with a bald-headed child. It could be a boy or a girl. Sometimes you make a mistake, so it's not he or her. You never ask them, how are you doing? Because we know how you're doing. You're in this hospital with cancer. And then the other thing is, you can't cry. You can't cry. I can't tell you how many times we had to excuse ourselves to another room because it was so impactful to being around these kids who are so much stronger than we are in these families dealing with this. So Bill Martin's doing a fantastic job with that organization. And I just can't say enough about Cowboys Who Care.
Let me tell you, that last rule I broke so many times, and I can't control it, because when I see those kids, for 6 years now, every time this was the seventh year, he mentions anything, I'm there. I mean, it's just, that is such a beautiful thing. And I wanted to thank you because, you know, a lot of guys, a lot of comics who come through who are part of that genre, you know, what does it take, an hour? 2 hours to go out, just help out. And just to know that you did that, you are forever okay in my book, Chad. I mean, that is that is one of the greatest foundations out there. NFR Rodeo Week, what a great time. I cannot wait to get down there. The Strip is rocking. I mean, have you ever seen it like this? NFR is crazy this year.
It's crazy. I feel like I found my tribe, like the Wild Amazonians or something, you know. You come into Vegas, these 10, 13 days of NFR, and it's just a tree of cowboy hats and redneck, and we're proud to own it. And I had to get out of Georgia because I had to escape the family business of meth. And I found my home in the cowboy world, Man, I'm telling you, I got a cousin that got arrested at a cockfight for selling chicken salad sandwiches without a food license. I come from a family tree that was actually a brush pile. So this cowboy culture out here, man, I love it. These folks, they're big folks.
Chad, thank you so much for the time.
You're blessing, sir. Appreciate you, man. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the 5-Minute Talk Show. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep listening at 5MinuteTalkShow.com.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.